Marty Griffin. So I received this email. Let me see when that was. February 8th. So what was that? Saturday? Yeah. I'm reading this Saturday morning thinking, wow, I got to help Kathy. Hi, Marty. My husband and I just love listening to your show. I'm 71 and he was 68 when he died this past December 28th. Like you and Christine, we're madly in love with each other. I will pick up the story from there with Kathy. I called the voicemail yesterday at her home to talk with Kathy, and her husband's voice was still on the voicemail. Makes you sad, all of it. It's so easy to move on from Monday to Tuesday for most of us, but not when you lose the love of your life and you have so many difficulties just getting through. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Hi, Marty. I'm doing okay. Thanks for asking. I knew I'd break down, but I'll try to be fine.
It's okay, dear. I mean, I think it's natural. I think the thing that grabbed me about your note was it's so real, and I think so many people struggle. There's so many issues involving, first of all, you lost the love of your life, and that's hard enough to do, right? And then you try to get by.
Right.
And when I called yesterday, his voice is still on the voicemail. I'm guessing you'll leave that there, right?
To tell you the truth, I didn't even think about it, but I probably will, at least for a good while.
And I'm not trying to make you sad or anything. I'm just trying to point out to folks how difficult this can be, because you are so honest and open that about this, that you he was the love of your life, just like Christine is the love of my life. It's vital, that sort of love, and it's so unusual, is it not?
It is. It is. He doted on me, and every time he ran into someone, he told everyone how madly in love he was with me.
What happened?
I was at a wrestling match for my grandson, and it's a tournament, and he didn't feel that he could sit all day, because I'm sure with your children, you've been at similar things, and so I arrived home. I couldn't get in touch with him during the later on in the evening, and I thought that was weird because he would always pick up the phone and I'd let him know how my grandson was doing. And so when I got my son-in-law dropped me off in the driveway, but we thought it was so weird because it was all dark. It was almost 9 o'clock at night, and so he waited in the driveway for me, and I went up to the door, and when I went in, I went into the family room, and he's laying on the ground and with his deep snoring sound, and I ran to the door and called my son-in-law, and we couldn't revive him, and he was gone within 24 hours. They said he had an aneurysm, and so, you know, the paramedics and so forth came, and an average aneurysm bleed, the doctors told us, was 30 milliliters. His was 190 milliliters.
Oh, my gosh.
And he was only breathing on his own 2%.
Oh.
And they said, I wondered why that they didn't tell us anything about, you know, operating on him, because you hear of things, you know, stopping bleeding all the time, but they didn't bring it up till a lot longer in the conversation. The doctor said that they would have had to remove half of his skull and live on a breathing tube and a feeding tube, and he may never even open his eyes anyway, which he didn't. So that was on a Friday, and then Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, they removed life support, and he was gone by 5:30. I was holding his hand.
68 years old.
Yes.
What was his name, dear?
Steve.
And only 3 days after Christmas, which makes it even more painful. How long were you married?
About 32 years.
And so not only has it been an emotional adjustment, but a financial adjustment as well, has it not, my friend?
Absolutely.
And you found out that he had no life insurance.
Right.
Right?
Right.
a hardworking guy, but sometimes folks just don't have enough to save, right?
Right. Well, the thing was, too, that he, for the past 6 years, this isn't what he died from, but he was having severe difficulty walking because he was in so much pain. And so, and the pain lasted, I don't, it's all a blur, but it was at least 3 or 4 years. And they said he had a degenerative disc or something, but he was not, neither one of us were on medication or anything. And so then through faith and prayers, one morning after like 3.5 or 4 years, he woke up with no pain. But after not being able to walk for so long, he was trying to get his strength back so he could go back to work.
And it left you all this in a precarious position in terms of your home, did it not, my dear?
Right, absolutely. Because he couldn't fix the things that needed fixed.
But this is serious stuff. Tell us about your roof.
Well, the roof... I won't mention insurance company, but we had insurance adjuster come out, and they refused payment on it because they said the roof wasn't taken care of. But we know that we had branches removed from around our house from the trees that had been rubbing on the roof. And so... and then it just started, the roof obviously started leaking in different bedrooms, and the roof had collapsed in 3 of them. And so, I don't know, it's kind of a safety issue, I believe, right now. So not only wouldn't the insurance company, they wouldn't give us, you know, file our claim or anything, but they dropped us from... So
you need a new roof.
Right. And then in 3 of the bedrooms, the ceiling's down. The only bedroom that isn't affected with that droppage of the ceiling is the master bedroom.
Wow. It's scary.
It is. And so when it, a neighbor had put up, well, Steve had the, was able, I mean, he, to get up on the roof at one time to,
hey, Kathy, hang on. Hang on for
okay,
me, my dear.
Sure.
Hang on. I got to take
sure.
a break. I got to. You got to hear the rest of the story. She needs a new roof, and she has 3 ceilings in her house collapse, and she's a widow, and she's in sorrow, as you can tell, and she's afraid. And we will make this right, man. All right. So, Kathy, lost her husband Steve after 32 years, and then finds out they don't have life insurance. They don't have savings. He was struggling physically, and they need a roof, and they have 3 ceilings out of the 4 bedrooms collapsing. It's kind of a daunting feeling, is it not, my dear, to have this much on your shoulders, is it not?
It is, because he protected me from all of this stuff that was going on. He didn't want me to see in the bedrooms or anything, but he was just devastated. He... the kind of person he was, he had raised his 2 sons from when they were 1 and 3 because his first wife ran off. So he, and there were many times that we would see people who seemed to be stranded at a grocery store or somewhere, and he would, we would ride them home. It's, and to reach, we had reached out to government agencies and so forth, and there's either so much red tape, and nobody will call you back. It's just ridiculous that, you know, all these, I mean, I love some of the politicians,
sure.
but they say how they're there to help us, but I don't know where that help is.
It's kind of scary, because
it
you're
is.
Alone in this craziness. And have you had anyone look at the roof? Has anyone done an estimate, my dear?
Years ago, we had someone come out, and it was astronomical. A neighbor a couple doors down kept saying he had a friend that would do it, and we didn't. I mean, it never panned out. So, I mean, I know everybody has stuff going on, but we couldn't get any. Again, nobody calls you back. And when he was raising his kids, he was the youngest officer in one of the banks, and he left that position to raise his two boys. Mm. And so then that's when he got into carpentry. And
So when it rains, my dear, does the water come into the house?
The tarp so far is holding it, but when we get, like one day, when the severe winds, I woke up and I couldn't see out the back window. The tarp had blown off and it was hanging down the back. And that neighbor that I was speaking of, he and his father did come up and re-tarp the whole roof, but, you know, it's so far it's holding right now, that tarp. That's, it's one of, I guess, I didn't know they had tarps that big. But so far, no. But every time we get the severe wind and the heavy rains, you know, you never know.
So here's what I have so far. I have Mike Marola. We do plaster, drywall, and stucco. We will help that woman's damaged ceilings. So we got that covered so far, my dear. All right?
Okay, thank you.
Now we need someone to finish your roof. And is it a total roof replacement, ma'am?
It would be, yes.
Yes, ma'am. And where do you live?
Did you want me to give the township?
Well, yeah.
Okay, Upper St. Clair, the great Upper St. Clair.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, folks in Upper St. Clair need roofs as well.
Oh, absolutely. When my husband went into some people's houses, they had these huge houses, and inside there weren't, you know, either no furniture or so, you know.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is it's kind of frightening when you lose your husband. It's tough enough. It breaks
your heart.
It
absolutely is. Absolutely.
And it's scary. And the truth is that lots of folks, lots of Americans have no backup, no savings. Most people live a paycheck to paycheck. And without some kind of help, bottom line is every room in your house will collapse. Right?
Right. Right. And, you know, we've always listened to you and have seen all the wonderful things you do. And it's making me realize, I am a retired teacher, I've been in and I'm still, you know, doing a couple hours a week online, but we're both on Social Security, so I lost his Social Security, obviously, so.
Well, we'll take care of you. I promise you, we got to get this roof done. We got the fellas are going to look at the plaster, and I'm going to come out and look at your house here in the next day or two, okay, my dear?
Okay, that'll be perfect. But the stuff that you've gone through and what you do for the community is just amazes me. So I'm not just saying this because you're reaching out to help me, but I definitely want to put my talents to use for, you know, the community, because I think that's what matters.
It does. It does. You find that out, and you hope that you find it out before it's too late.
Right.
I love you. I thank you for calling.
I love you, Marty. Thank you so much for your help.
And we're all over it, all right? Hang in there,
okay,
please.
Thank you again.
All right.
Bye.
This is how thousands and thousands and thousands of people live their lives. I've been in these homes with collapsed ceilings and holes in roofs and a blue tarp. And they're too afraid. And they're broke. And they're alone. And it's bad. Email me, getmarty@kdkradio.com. Getmarty@kdkradio.com.